like, it's almost like comedy. You got one line, and then you got the zinger. You know, you got the thought, and then the, here's the zinger. What do you think of that?
Yeah.
Isn't that funny? Or, what do you think of that? This is what you really are. So it's kind of like communicating with them. I really need to communicate with them. So I look musically at them, but I made the mistake of looking at the dance floor. And everybody is just like, totally getting down and, you know, way down, you know. Like, I don't even want to go into it. But I just absolutely busted up. It was so distracting. I was open for it. My mind was open for it. I looked out there and was totally distracted. It took me a while to get back into it. Because I like to really immerse myself in the music. I mean, I would really rather give the whole performance. If the music is really good, especially instrumental parts, I'd rather do it with my eyes closed.
Yeah.
Only sometimes when I open my eyes, then I realize, oh, I like that part too. Like I was just saying, I like to look at people and get the reaction. But a lot of times, you know, as we were saying before, people don't react. The most deadpan person in the audience will come up to me later and say, oh my God, it was great, blah, blah, blah. That's okay, man, why didn't you show it? You know, how about just a little head waggle?
Yeah.
A shoulder shimmy.
I was completely floored.
Yeah, exactly. And I had no idea.
Gosh, you're good.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, you get accustomed to that. But there are other things like the band. When we did the live CD, it was very hard. I had to get good microphone technique. I had one shot to do this. I had to get good microphone technique. I had to be on pitch or I was going to hate it later. You know, pitch had to be perfect, and I wanted a performance that came from the proper spiritual place, deeper place, which is, you know, nothing to do with anybody else. And so all that in one shot, getting this, and then I start tuning in to the bass part, and then the drum fill, and then the guitar part, and these things that I don't tune into.
Thank you.
fun, and I just like to get into it sort of on my own, mostly. Those other things are distractions, but there is, I do have to do a performance. I mean, I'm kind of an old school entertainer, so I do that. I did notice during the live thing when I was too closed into myself, I'd kind of peek one eye open and look at the audience, and they're like just sitting there, like, hey, what about us? So I had to give the performance, like, hey, you know, what are you doing? Or open up and reach out to them.
Respond,
you know,
to them.
Yeah, send it out.
That's the only way to get it back from
me. Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, I don't want to exclude. They give us energy, and, you know, it's not their job to give energy for the good performance. That's one thing I believe, you know. For me, it's my job to be comfortable with myself, be comfortable with whatever they're looking at. I don't care. It's my job to go in and be, you know, just relax. Yeah, I mean, they just seem to dig it more when you just start. One guy said to me one time, he said, you're really good. This was 4 years ago. You're really good. I said, oh, thank you. I know. Or some idiotic response. Oh, and he said, you don't know it. Oh, that's what it was. He said, you don't know it. I said, no, oh, no, I know. I mean, you know, again, I get mad because he doesn't realize I've been doing this for like almost 30 years. Yeah. Like, I don't think I would be doing this so long if I thought it was awful. But he said, you don't know it. But when you know it, look out. And I really thought about that. And I mean, I have done this a long time, and I did think I was pretty good. But I guess food for thought. I really thought about it.
You have to ride control on yourself.
Yeah, and you got to be comfortable. That's my problem, though. Control and let go. Control and go off.
Yeah.
Control, you know, it's always, it's in my sign.
You don't want your ego to run away from you.
Yeah, it's more like sometimes like I used to get uptight, like I even now. Oh, they don't. They're not digging it. Oh, they. Oh, my pants are too tight. This top is too see-through. They're all distracted. I'll never wear this again. But I've gotten better at dismissing those things. And our music, it's our own music. What can I say?
Yeah.
We got built-in entertainment, built-in distractions. You know, it's my lyrics, so I can go way deep. You know, it's. Yeah. It's not like I'm doing cover tunes and I'm having to live up to something else. I'm just living up to what I want to do, you know, what I can be. So it's kind of a lot of freedom.
We have an awful lot of lady listeners, and they had asked, why don't you have any girls, any ladies on your show? And you're the first.
Mm. And that's terrible, John.
What? It is terrible. Chauvinist business.
It's a man's world.
It's a man's world. But you know, what can you tell if there's any aspiring young ladies out there that want to get on stage and start singing? I mean,
I would tell them what I'd tell any other person that has come up to me, and there have been several who've come up and said, "I want to be a singer. I do sing. You know, what do you think about that?" What I think it's really important that you learn instruments. You know, my girlfriend did not. She was a great singer. She went by feel. I learned a lot from her. She didn't play any instruments. But she's the leader of a band. So I say that because you can do it. But the more you know about what the band is doing, the more you're going to reach the point where you're comfortable. They're comfortable with you. They respect you. And you can take on the music from a musical place. I don't know, it sounds kind of stupid, but, you know, anything, guitar, piano, something, some chording instrument is always better. It's more fun. Just learn 3 chords, especially if you're playing blues. You can play 1,000 billion blues songs with 3 chords.
3 chords. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, you can scratch them out on the piano. You know, get a crummy thing. You'll end up getting something. It just helps you. And then if you ever want to write or you ever want to dream up something yourself, you got it. It just gives you way more leverage, and respect is something. I mean, there's so many people that, you know, you don't, there's something, they're not attached somehow. That's my personal thing. Some people like people who aren't attached. I mean, that don't have some musical attachment. I'm a musician. You know, I mean, and I'm really glad that I am, because like I was saying, we do songs that are 40 minutes long, you know, and it's musical, and I'm totally immersed in the musical part, and I'm making sounds and background parts, and I mean, you know, that's a very important thing to me.
You brought up a very big word, respect.
Mm.
So many times, I mean, I've worked with bands where the lead guitar player didn't respect the singer and would play over the singer.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know...
I think that's an accident, though. I don't know if that's out of respect. That's just the nature of the breed. A lot of guitar players do that.
Or the band would play so loud, the singer just does no...
Yeah, they can't help that either, but...
Yeah.
I understand. See, yeah. I'm a guitar player. I mean, I know that... You know, I know how it is. In fact, I would tell Emma sometimes, she'd turn around and say, what's going on? I'm singing here. And I'd say, well, somebody was talking to him and he hit a wrong note, or his amp was doing something weird and he just got too loud, or, you know, true, I am maybe too understanding, and that's why a lot of people can't hear me during a performance. But I don't know. I think respect kind of comes from another area that's deeper than just what they do on stage. Like, guitar players often play over the lead guitar player will often play over the lead vocal. In fact, Rick Dufay, who plays our band, he and I had a big struggle at the beginning because I just don't shut up. I mean, that's one thing that goes through my head. Shut up. You know, will you just shut up? It's not all about you. Hello. You know, I have to shut up. But Rick and I used to have a problem because I'm singing over a spot, an ad lib, if you want to call it that, where the guitar would do the fill.
Yeah.
So he and I had a little struggle in our first year where I'm going to be and where I want him. And I say where I want him because I'm a writer. I'm the writer, so I get a little bit of, seniority in that respect. But so we had the struggle, where are we going to be? And I'll tell you, though, after 4 years, this is why we're having so much fun, because not only do we have that down, now we go beyond it.
Yeah.
You know, it's... the most amazing thing, I've never been in a band with the great musicians for 4 years working steady like we do. You know, great musicians just going off, and we all can almost feel either where we're going to go, where we could go, and we're entertaining ourselves. It's very indulgent.
Where do you hope to go, say, in the next year? Do you have any plans?
To Disneyland? Just kidding.
No.
Actually, we're hoping to get signed to a larger label. This last live album we did ourselves, and we'd like to get some European deal. I mean, they love your American music in Europe, and you know, I feel very proud to take it there. Really, I mean, as an American, and a lot of Americans, I'm sure feel the same way, because we really got it.
Yeah.
You know, we really do. We got the soul. You know, they got a lot of unsa stuff over there. And I worked with it. I sang it. So I know. But I'd like to go to have European release and a larger label. But I want a label that wants us. You know, I don't want a label like, okay, you know, where's your hit?
Well, wants you and understands what you're doing.
Yeah, and yeah, exactly. And that's not very common, you know, because I don't write songs with the idea that it's going to get on the radio.
Yeah.
You know, I just write them the way I want and to entertain myself and go by my taste, you know. I don't, and I just, it's kind of working like that. And in fact, it is working real good. And I'm very lucky and very happy that we're doing all our own stuff all night long, and people like it and relate to it. And anyway, so I just hope we get another label. Maybe like in fall, we're hoping to be recording something for some label. If we don't have a label, we do it ourselves. I got I'm on page 80. I'm on page 80 in my little songbook. And the band is on page 30. So we got a lot of stuff. They got a lot of catching up to do.
You wrote 90% of
the
song.
Not everything. I mean, I write, except for covers, I write it, and then I'll take it to Fred Hosteller. He and I'll get together after I've done it, because I like to try to, now, whereas I didn't do this 4 years ago, I try to get the idea, the emotion, down right away. And then I'll rinse with it all day long. It's not perfect. It's fine. It's good. And I'm gonna, I had a whole song while we're vacuuming. The whole song in concession. Just do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Sang the whole song. And then I got to the end of it. And I went, wow, that's good. And I wrote it down. I just switched to it. Well, sometimes that happens.
Yeah. Hostile.
That's right.
Not hostile. Hostile.
No, hostile as in a home, you know.
Yes, yes.
A home.
Yes, absolutely. Produced by the ever, ever amazing Jack Douglas.
Oh, ever. He did Live at Budokan.
Yeah.
You were talking about Budokan.
Yeah, yeah.
He did what, Cheap Trick, Live at Budokan. And Jack's been our friend for 20 years.
Good
His
man.
Son is my godson.
Excellent producer.
His wife is my former manager. He's a great producer, and I tell you something. Watching him in this element, I'll make this quick, it's really something I'd be fascinated by. Jack's always been one of the pioneers of mic technique, okay, in the 70s. He did Rocks. For those of you who don't know, Aerosmith Rocks, one of Aerosmith's greatest albums, and listen, the sounds are great. He did Cheap Tricks, great stuff. And he, of course, he's done, what, several of mine albums, three, now four, five.
Yeah.
So, watching him with only a remote truck and the engineers in the remote truck outside the building with the big long snakes and all this stuff, he was doing all the miking. And watching him do the mics and the drum sounds and everything, he it was like watching him in the old days when he was an engineer starting out. And he did such a great job, and you can hear it, and it's it was just a great thing for me to watch. Like, there he is getting down under the snare and coming back and adjusting it, and I love that stuff, you know. I love that old school miking rather than just trying to throw some effects on it and cover up what you didn't get to begin with, or some big fat thing that's a sample snare sound from somewhere else. I never really respected that era. You know,
Jack's old school.
He's old school, and it's good.
He learned how to mic. I mean, in the old days, there was no EQ. You had to get the EQ from the mic.
That's right. The distance, the type of mic, you know, and that's how you get some of those, and those great performances.
Yeah.
You know, you put all that stuff on it, you just take away all the good stuff. You know, it's like putting, making a triple vocal.
Yeah.
Yeah, it sounds fat, but what happened to the character? You don't even know what they're talking about anymore.
Yeah, give me a few mistakes.
Oh,
I like a few mistakes.
Me too.
I make plenty of them.
One or two. We hardly did any overdubs. I mean, Rick Dufay was really cool, too. I don't think he repaired anything.
Really?
Yeah, there's a couple mistakes on there, and I'm making some. I repaired a very short list of things, like words I wanted, like in the beginning of a bridge, you couldn't hear what the words were, so I'd do like five words, and like I was telling you, with the mic in hand, and you know, so I think it came out. I really like the way it came out. It came out, sounds like the band. It's the essence of the band. And it was the essence of the band then.
Yeah.
But I tell you, since we did that, we all said, oh, that was pretty good. Now we've gone on.
Now you've gone.
Yeah. Oh, it's fun.
Well, Karen, I want to thank you very, very much for joining me today.
Thank you.
And
thank you.
Great. If you would like, we would love to have you email us at our address, which I'll give you later, because I want to take up every second that I can with Karen. And I hope you enjoyed today. This is John Marr and Karen Lawrence from Blue by Nature. And we wish you all a wonderful, wonderful week. And wherever you are, remember, the gods love the blues.